You're listening to Insight on Capital Public Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. Now we are going to take a step back in time to the Jim Crow era of the South and the United States and talk about a new book by Dr. David Koven. There is a story behind the title of Dr. Koven's book and a story behind the writing of the novel itself. Dr. Koven is professor emeritus at Sacramento State. He has a PhD in political science. He is the founder of Blue Nile Press, which is Sacramento's only Black publishing company, and he's the founder of the Sacramento Black Book Fair. His new novel is titled Raisins and Milk, and we're going to talk about the title and about the writing process. Dr. Koven, welcome to Insight.
Thank you.
Would you start with a bit of your own history, because you were involved in the civil rights movement. Where were you at the time, and what was your participation?
During the civil rights movement, during the heyday, let me put it that way, of the civil rights movement, I was I was in high school, then I was in college, and later on I was in grad school. My involvement began earnestly in when I was in college. That's when the sit-ins were going on in the South. I was going to the University of Illinois in Champaign-Urbana, and we did sympathy demonstrations there. We picketed stores that were being picketed in the South and where people were being knocked off lunch counters and so on. So that's actually how I began to be involved in the movement. In fact, I lived in a fraternity house, and a woman came by and she said, "You know, all this stuff is going on. We need to do something about it." And she said, "We're meeting with people from the Black community in Champaign-Urbana and with the campus chapter of the NAACP. Will somebody go to the meeting with me?" I volunteered to go with her. And that she initiated my involvement. It was kind of lonely out there. We went. When she and I went to the meeting of that they were having with the campus people on the NAACP and the people from the Black community in Champaign-Urbana, on the campus side, we were the only two Black people there. So we were lonely, but we felt it was important, and people from the community were glad to see us there. And that's really what got me started. Once I went to grad school, I became even much more involved.
This is a book that you were writing in the early 1970s. The central character is a young woman named Ruth Ann Wethering. She was born in Florida. At the time that you were writing it, you happened to have an occasion to share it with the great American writer Toni Morrison. Do you want to take the story from there?
Toni Morrison was an editor at Random House, and I sent the manuscript to Random House. She read it, and she contacted me and said, we're very interested in this story. Maybe if you could revise it a bit, we could do something with it. I liked it a lot," she said. And so I did revise it, and I sent it back, and she said, it's very good, but something's missing, and it's not ready for us right now. So the story was my grandmother's story, and my grandmother lived with my parents and me almost all my life as I was growing up, and she would talk about her childhood. She liked to talk about her childhood. And she always began these stories with, "When I was a girl," and she would go into something that had happened to her when she was a girl. So I used to follow her around and listen to her, and often she repeated the stories, and I had favorites, and I'd try to get her to tell the favorites again, and she would. And as I grew older, the stories changed because she could put in more. As I was more mature, there was more she thought I could handle, and so she would introduce those elements into the stories that she told me. Raisins and Milk was one of those stories that she told me. When I was, when my grandmother was born in 1902. So that was 37 years after emancipation, after the end of the Civil War. So a lot of the people that she knew in her neighborhood were people in Mandarin, Florida, were people who were alive during slavery. And her grandmother was alive during slavery. And these people had stories that they told her. Some of her stories that she told me came from them, and Raisins and Milk was one of them. Raisins and Milk came from a kind of shocking story that her grandmother told her, that the reason she didn't like raisins and the reason she didn't like milk was because of what went on when she was a child in slavery. They were fed. Well, let me begin here. The slaves, the enslaved people, were called around by a horn. So they blew the horn when it was time for them to get up. They blew the horn when it was time for them to go out in the fields. They blew the horn when there was a time to rest. They blew the horn when it was time to go back to their cabins. And this woman, my great-grandmother, told my grandmother that she didn't even remember them speaking at the place where they lived, the overseers speaking to them. They communicated with them solely by the horn as far as she could remember. She said probably they did talk to us, but that's not what I remember. And they blew the horn to feed, to eat, mealtime. Mealtime was a time when the people were coming into the fields at that particular plantation, were fed in a trough, and food was poured into the trough, and they had to eat out of that trough, scooping food into their mouths. And the food was always accompanied by milk. It was bad milk that the farm wasn't going to use, and they poured it into the trough for the slaves to eat out of. And so they were all famished, and the mess smelled horribly. But this is the only food they were going to get, so they dove into it, and it stank, and swarms of flies settled on that food in the trough. And they were scooping flies, sour milk, and whatever other remains were into the mess that they were eating and putting it into their mouths. And once slavery ended, my great-grandmother told my grandmother, I swore then that I would never have raisins or milk, because the flies sitting on top of those that mess we had to eat looked just like raisins.
That is one of many examples in the book Raisins and Milk, in which we get a window into the inhumanity, into the pain, and also into the real-life stories of people who were surviving, and in some cases not surviving, slavery. I think the story is so rich in its characters, and it hurts, Dr. Coven. I think reading the book hurts. Although there's beauty and sunlight and joy in the people's lives as well. And the evolution of Ruth Ann, this is her coming-of-age story, is something that stays with you. There were times I had to put the book down and pause because of what I was afraid was coming or what had already happened. But I think it's really important reading right now. Why did you put it aside for so long after that exchange with Toni Morrison and only finish it more recently and release it now?
I didn't really put it aside. I kept working on it, tinkering with it, looking at it, revising it for years. At first I was trying to imagine what was missing, what wasn't there. What was the edge? And over time, I realized it was simply that I hadn't lived long enough. I didn't have the depth of experience to give the story what it needed. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things I did, the initial story was much longer. It followed my grandmother from her youth into maturity and later on in her life. And it came to me that the most powerful part of the story was really the beginning. The times when she used to say to me, when I was a girl, and go into a story. So I began to condense the story, to take out the part that came later, and to focus on the kind of depth of experience that that girl had in that time. And until I got that right, I wasn't ready to come forward with it. And it took a long time to get that right. Hmm.
So all of the nightmare portion, the horse, the nightmare storyline, without giving any of it away, it's all true?
It's all true. This is fiction, so I've fictionalized it. But it all came from stories that my grandmother told me. I talk of her as being a fountain of memories. And she was and is. And I like to continue that fountain. And so others might have the same kinds of information about that time and that place.
I do want to encourage people to look for this book. It's titled Raisins in Milk. Dr. David Coven has written 5 books. He is, as I said, professor emeritus at Sacramento State. He founded Blue Nile Press and the Sacramento Black Book Fair. He has a book talk and signing this Saturday, August 4th. It will be at Underground Books in the afternoon from 2 to 4. And I know you're continuing to focus on civil rights efforts all over the world. Could I ask you before we go just to share a thought about where Sacramento is at this point in time in light of the Stephon Clark shooting and other cases that have been so high profile and so tense for the city?
Well, I think it's not just Sacramento. It's national. And where we are is where we've been for a long time. We've got a long way to go. Race and the meaning of race is still as important now as it was when my grandmother was a girl, as it was when I was a child. Tanya Faison, who's a leader of Black Lives Matter here in Sacramento, didn't live in Sacramento until 2014. So she wasn't here, but she came here. People from here have gone elsewhere. This is a national problem, and it's more than a problem. It's embedded in the nation. And Raisins in Milk is a window into some of the roots of this plague that still is here.
I'd like to continue this conversation at another time, Dr. Coven. Would you visit again?
Well, thank you. Be glad to.
It was a pleasure to meet you.
Thank you.
Again, Dr. David Coven will be at Underground Books on Saturday, August 4th from 2 to 4. You've been listening to him on Insight. We'll post more about his work and his books at capradio.org/insight. This is Insight on Capital Public Radio.